Good morning, friends. Today we take the time to give our mind hearts over to the mystery of the Transfiguration. What makes it a mystery? Well, best to look at the traditional interpretation first. Jesus, Peter, James, and John all go up a mountain, and suddenly Moses and Elijah appear there together. According to Deuteronomy, this Moses-Elijah coupling is not supposed to happen until the end of days, so our text implies that the end of the world is upon us, and thus that Jesus had to be the Messiah foretold by Scripture. Thus, this is the basis of the position held by the Church that the Transfiguration was confirmation that Jesus was the Messiah foretold by the prophets. The only problem is, such a Messiah is to come at the end of days, and here we are roughly 2,000 years later, and the days haven't ended yet. If you agree that this is a problem, it only gets worse. The text is inconsistent with the traditional meaning because God is already supposed to have made Jesus the Messiah at the baptism, which we celebrated only last week, but which happened years before the Transfiguration. So which is it? Does he become the anointed, the Messiah, at baptism or Transfiguration? Why would he get anointed twice and the second most important time only privately? Seems odd to confirm your status as Jewish king, where no one but three of your disciples can see it. People will accuse you of lying for naked ambition. But God doesn't make such mistakes, by definition. And generally, the response to this problem is a fudge or finagle of, well, it's a mystery. We aren't required to understand it, only believe. This sort of answer used to really annoy me because no one would have gone to the trouble to write this stuff if it couldn't be understood. And indeed it can be understood as a metaphor for other things. The founding bishops of this church employed another metaphor called the Great Initiations to explain the apparent inconsistency between the purpose of the story of the baptism and that of the Transfiguration, where either birth or epiphany, baptism, Transfiguration, crucifixion, descent, and finally resurrection, ascension represent five great or solar initiations conveyed by someone they called the one initiator. Such an explanation is not too bad as far as it goes, but like any metaphor taken too concretely, became a vehicle for gross abuse by people bent on the acquisition of dominance or sometimes just a feeling of superiority over other people. And there are other interpretive problems with it as well, but I must leave those to one side for now. Suffice it to say that for the Transfiguration to be meaningful, especially to those of us who, like most regular humans, do not claim to be initiates, quote-unquote, of secret Mahatmas, Transfiguration must be something we prodigal children can all access ourselves. Yet it is also clearly an esoteric or inner world phenomenon. What then is it? Let's assume for a moment, as we have always done in this church, that the Gospels, rather than presenting history, are a template for the inner growth of a human, and that each event in Jesus' life and travels is in some way a stage in that growth, beginning with his birth and finishing with his rising. Then, how does the Transfiguration fit inside that schema? It is called the Transfiguration because Jesus' face changes and he starts shining. So it could also be called illumination. Now, are we meant to think that Jesus actually started to shine physically? Or is it more of an inner shining? Anyway, it's something to do with shining. And there is something shining associated with the immortality Adam and Eve lost after eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge at the fall. And it's called the robe of glory. Paul talks about it in Philippians, saying Jesus emptied himself and put aside his glory to become like a man in all ways. In Targum Genesis, it is called Adam's garment of light. In Isaiah 61:3, the robe of splendor, or 61:10, the robe of salvation. And in Genesis 37, it is Joseph's robe of many colors, which is stripped from him when he is sold into slavery by his brothers. Jesus being son of Joseph is no accident. So here, Jesus suddenly shines as though having for a moment taken back the robe, yet it is only momentary. Interestingly, for early Christians, this robe of glory was the main thing a Christian sought, and the doctrine of kenosis, or emptying, that went with it, said, rather paradoxically, that in order to get it back, one had to give it up, that the glories of the world were counterfeit, that Jesus, by giving up his glory, becoming self-empty, humbling himself and thinking nothing of so doing, had demonstrated the pattern to follow in order to reclothe ourselves. Now, before you think this early Christian stuff is a bit of apocryphal gobbledygook or just something I made up, you can find it all in all the old Syriac, that is Aramaic, works that predate the 5th century. Let's remember the oldest form of Christianity is Syriac and comes out of Antioch and Edessa. What's more, it appears to be a reinterpretation of another esoteric doctrine, which is the Hellenic or Alexandrian doctrine of the self-illumined one, or Orgoides, sometimes linked with the story of the Phoenix. You can look this stuff up and find it without too much difficulty. I found G.R.S. Mead's translations of works from that period and the Hymns of St. Ephrem very instructive. So what does this mean to us? Basically that, yes, the Transfiguration is a kind of initiation, but not in the way often imagined by people who have used initiation typology to explain the Gospels, and it is certainly not out of our reach. It is a milestone along the way of soul growth, and probably a pretty important one since there is quite a bit of literature written about it in different ways, also indicating many, many people have experienced it. The Transfiguration for me is the result of a process of self-emptying and is a private confirmation that you really are and have always been an immortal being. It is also apparently a reinvestiture, reintegration, or perhaps new fabrication of your own robe of glory as you find yourself touched directly by your Father in heaven. Following the Transfiguration is a deep recognition that you must return to the world, just as Jesus did. This glory is not for yourself, but to bring forth in the world. Your home is not somewhere else, but right here in the Mishigos with other people. For me, the Transfiguration is also visceral confirmation that you are just a little child, that indeed all humans are such infant children in the greater scheme, and that any notion that you are not is, alas, wishful thinking. It is to me the beginning of a process of communion with the Orgoides, which always touches death. Such communion with this guardian of our soul is not such a simple thing like we thought. It is not a conversation in English or any other language or encoding, but the content of life itself as one learns how morality really works and the true basis of all higher vision. Climbing that mountain is not without its perils, but no one does it to you with a scepter made of weird metal. Although that's not a bad metaphor in a way, yet it really is the work of self-emptying that brings it about. And it is only a confirmation of how far you have come and how far there still is to go. The temptation when talking about these things is to make stuff up or quote from other people who may or may not have made stuff up. To a certain extent, we all do this. But with these important things, we need to be careful to speak from personal experience, lest we lead people further astray. And there is the caveat that my experiences will not be the same as others. Nevertheless, it is important not to use words flippantly or in a way that adds in things that shouldn't be there. I have deliberately left things out. But it is important that we each know of what we are really capable of, and not be seduced by the illusions of the astral realm as so many have been before. No matter what private experiences you or I have had, I hope we can begin to share these things together. This church was always meant to be an edifice of esoteric understanding, built with the living stones of your own spiritual experiences. The Transfiguration, just like the baptism, is not some far-off reward given by somebody else's hands, but your birthright as a human being. Which isn't to say that climbing the mountain isn't arduous, daunting, or scary, but it is within reach of everyone in this lifetime, or else it wouldn't be there in the book. It's up to us to follow the path, and along the way, maybe we will discover a stable, rational, and spiritual morality for which all the people in this world long.